Yep. That's the new theme song. We switched to that last week after decades and decades of play that funky music, White Boy. And one of the reasons I like to play it is because my buddy Jeff digs the song, and he turned me on to it, and I love it. That's one of my psych songs. Anyway, not psychotic songs. I mean, like, my fight song, you know, that kind of song. Anyway, it's Bowerly on News Radio 930 WBEN on a beautiful Wednesday in Western New York. And so good to have you with us. So less than an hour ago, just kind of curious. First of all, the world is in one piece. We're in no imminent danger, of which I'm aware, of some kind of destruction. But the emergency alert system test on your cell phone, did you receive it? Is there anybody who did not receive it? You heard mine go off on the air. And I told Tim Wenger before I came on, I said, Tim, as you know, usually I try to remember to turn my phone off before I'm going on the air. Sometimes I forget, which is super embarrassing. But I said, today I'm going to leave it on intentionally because I want to hear it when it comes over. And they said 220, and it came over at 218. I mean, really? Come on. If you know what? I'm sorry. That bothers me. If you say 220... why would you send it 2 minutes early? Are you not in sync with the National Atomic Clock in Colorado? I've got two clocks at my house which are in sync with the National Atomic Clock. I know exactly to the second what time it is. And you know what the best part about that is? Twice a year when the clocks change, you stay up late and you can watch them go like a blender. It's really kind of cool. I get off on that. I'm very easily amused. So anyway, but the emergency alert system, is there a better way to get information out to people? First of all, again, if you're just joining us, I'm going to ask a question I have not ever asked you guys. Do you want to know what the question is? Do you want to know what it is? All right, I've never asked you guys this question before. On a scale of 0 to 10, how concerned are you that at some point in your lifetime or your children's lifetime, we are going to be attacked by Russia, China, North Korea, Iran, or some hostile foreign state with nuclear weapons? How concerned are you? Now, there's a number of ways to approach this answer. One of the ways is... governments are nothing but shadows. Presidents are nothing but illusions. Congressmen are nothing but temporary placeholders. The real government is the invisible secret state government, and they're all in cahoots with each other all over the world. Call them the Illuminati, call them the secret state, call them whatever you want, but they're never going to let the world get blown up because there goes their money and their private jets and their, you know, yachts in the Greek islands. Okay, that's one school of thought. The other school of thought, of course, and there are many in between, is that, oh, no, Tom, no. Nations are nations, and nations will fight for their sovereignty and their independence and their borders. And if they detect an incoming strike on them, they're certainly going to not allow themselves to be obliterated before getting off a few of their own. Do you at all think about this? Because I want to tell you something. Those of you who are 40 and under, see, you probably don't remember the country called the USSR. And this is one of the things that drives me, well, I have a lot of things that drive me a little bit batty, but one of the things that does is this idea that the United States of America will last forever. It's that strong. We're simply bound by unbreakable knots, and we're strong. And I call BS on that. Yeah, the Roman Empire. Where's that today? Yeah, you're looking at him. No, that's from The Sopranos. The Roman Empire, the Greek Empire. Where are they? Where's Egypt right now? Are they building pyramids? No, they can barely build indoor plumbing. So the idea that any nation is forever is, it's folly. It's baloney. It's magical thinking. The Soviet Union basically lasted from 1917 to the early 1990s. That's it. And by the way, I would also add that the United States has never been on particularly good terms with Russia, whether it was Tsarist Russia, Soviet Russia, until Boris Yeltsin and that crowd took over after the collapse of the Soviet Union. But then, because people have a big attachment to going back to that to which they are used to experiencing, saved myself on that one, baby. But I've said this before. The most, and you can look this up. This is a fact. This is what I spend my spare time looking up online, okay? It's not always ex-hamster and U-porn, okay? Tragically, Tanner knew exactly what I was referring to. But anyway, I don't see your hands anywhere, Tanner, and I'd be much, there you go. Okay, thank you. But anyway, the poor Tanner. He's just going to be a psychological wreck after this show. Where was I? YouTube, Pornhub. I was going actually somewhere with that thought. The United States has never particularly gotten along very well with Russia until the fall of the Soviet Union and a very pro-Western regime which took over. But then, guess what happened? Do you know who the most popular Russian leader in history of Russia happens to be right now, according to public survey after public survey after public survey in Russia? The most popular leader is, believe it or not, Joseph Stalin. I can't make this up. Joseph Stalin was responsible for the deaths of untold tens of millions of his own people. He used to get off by putting the kulyaks, the larger farmers, in barges in the Volga and then sinking them and drowning people he thought were counter to the revolution of the Bolsheviks, because they wouldn't send their grain to Moscow to feed the burgeoning masses in the big cities. Moscow, St. Petersburg, Minsk, etc. But Joseph Stalin also, his NKVD, used to be the Cheka, then it became the NKVD under Lavrenty Beria, they unleashed what was known as the Great Terror against the Soviet people, the Russian people. And again, tens of thousands, if not a million or more people were executed by Lavrenty Beria's NKVD. And those of you of Polish extraction are very well aware of what happened in the Katyn Forest, where the cream of the crop of the Polish military, the Polish clergy, the Polish intellectuals were butchered and massacred by Stalin's NKVD. And they tried to blame the Nazis on it. It was the Soviets who did it. And they finally came clean and admitted, yeah, we did that. And one other point I would bring up is that Churchill, when talking about Lavrenty Beria, the head of the NKVD, which would be like the CIA on steroids, they're a little more blatant than CIA. I mean, they just put a bullet in the back of your neck instead of giving you fast-growing cancer. But anyway, I'm sorry, was that out loud? Anyway, despite all of those depravities of Joseph Stalin, Joseph Stalin remains the most popular leader today in Russia. And I think it's important to understand that when you are trying to figure out, well, what's up with Putin and the Russian people? And if you analyze it, I think you'll find that Putin is a lot more like Joseph Stalin than he was like than he is like Khrushchev or Malenkov, or maybe not Lenin because he ordered the execution of the Romanovs. But my point is, for whatever reason, people gravitate to that to which they are most familiar. And Putin reminds a lot of people of Stalin. And Stalin is like the most popular leader the Russians have referenced in public opinion surveys. So anyway, I don't mean to get too far into the weeds here on this, but, you know, I'm just kind of curious. Is nuclear war something that you spend a lot of time contemplating? And when I was growing up, and when you were growing up, you know, the emergency broadcast system, that tone, which I can't play legally. I cannot play the tone, even though it's an old tone. I can't do it, to the best of my knowledge and belief, and I'm not going to take the chance. It was a scary, like, two-tone thing, not Tommy Two-Tone. It wasn't 8675309. It was a scary two-tone thing that really got your attention. Now, it's like the grinding of gears. it sounds like somebody struggling for a movement of the intestines. But if you think about it, the emergency alert system in the event of a national nuclear emergency where incoming missiles are coming at us from Kazakhstan and everywhere else around the former Soviet Union, okay, you've got 15 minutes. What do you do? I mean, really? You're not going to have time to go to school, pick up the kids. They're going to be on their own. You might get lucky and be able to get a cell phone connection to somebody about whom you care. But what are you going to do? There's nothing you can do. And our government has absolutely no provisions in place for the safety of the American people. Now, does that mean that perhaps there's a shadow government that knows that all this defense spending is just a bunch of bullcrap anyway because we're never going to use it because the Illuminati are never going to let the world blow up? I don't know. I'm not privy to that kind of information and knowledge. But for you listening, and I know that this isn't particularly pleasant to think about, but in the event of an actual emergency of that kind of national scope, my first reaction, I think, would be profound shock. My second reaction would be, well, you know what? We're all going to die. Just going to pick up the lawn chair, just sit and wait for the flash, baby. Because what else are you going to do? What, I want to live in my basement for 3 years? And what, eat the spiders, which will probably grow to the size of crabs and then grow to the size of elephants because of mutations genetically? You ever seen those animals around the Chernobyl plant? They look like gremlins. They come with instructions and everything. 803-0930, star 930, and 1-800-616-WBEN. Should our government invest money into civil defense? I don't think it ever is going to. We can't even find money to sink into improving infrastructure with water and sewer. You know why? Because it's not sexy. It doesn't get the headlines. No politician wants to say, hello, I'd like to introduce you to the new pipe through which your solid waste is going to pass. Yeah, vote for me. It's not a sexy thing. It's much sexier to say, look, a new convention center. Look, a new football stadium. Nobody wants to think about poo. Except apparently every other ad on the internet that I've been seeing lately is either about peeing out your blood sugar or about bowel movements. The internet is filled with, and I'm not even talking about German dungeon porn sites. I'm talking about legitimate music sites where the next ad is for Sweetwater music gear. But first I got to watch a hose squirting out its A1C urine, which makes me very jealous because it's like a racehorse. Anyway, 803-0930 is the phone number. But look, getting back to the emergency alert system on a local basis, I think one of the great failures, and you may have some thoughts on this, one of the great failures of the Blizzard of 22 was the failure of federal agencies to request activation of the emergency alert system. One of the great failures of the Blizzard of 22 was the failure of politicians, including people I consider a friend, like Byron Brown, and people like Mark Poloncarz, who would like to light me on fire. He would, seriously. He really he would hit me over the head with his acoustic guitar as soon as look at me, all right? And that's okay, because I'd at least break his E string. Not his G string, but his E string. But anyway, not the thick one, the other one. And obviously, you know what? I lump myself in the crowd of people to blame, along with the politicians. I should have been on a soapbox Thursday before the blizzard hit saying, people at the Weather Service, why are you not requesting the emergency alert system? Mayor Brown, why are you not shutting down the city at midnight? Mark Poloncarz, why are you not shutting down the county at midnight? Where is the emergency alert system? And I should have been screaming my head off over that, and I did not do it. And I believe I was derelict in my duty. And I'm not looking for compliments. I'm not looking for people to absolve me in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. I'm just saying I wish I'd have done that. Maybe it would have saved 10 lives. I don't know. Maybe people would have taken it seriously. Or there's also the chance that because, you know, the boy who cried wolf, you might be the kind of person who you every time you hear the emergency alert tones, you say, oh my God, this sucks. This is grating on my ears. Quick, let me stream some Steely Dan from the phone. And then when you really need it, you don't listen because they test it too much. I think they test it too much. I think we have far too many tests on this radio station of the emergency alert system. And I think it desensitizes people to its importance. And the ironic thing is, when we most needed it to be activated before the blizzard of 22, nobody requested its activation. I didn't get the memo. I didn't get any email from NOAA saying, hey, we need your help here. We didn't. And they should have. Okay, I think a lot of people, including myself, dropped the ball the Thursday prior to the blizzard. And I also think that the emergency alert system tests are too frequent and they desensitize you to the importance of that tone. And it literally becomes the modern day electronic equivalent of the boy who cried wolf. You may have some thoughts on this. But apparently not. Now, you may have some thoughts on this. Let me give you the phone number. Because, I mean, look, I take civil defense very seriously. And I take your safety very, very seriously. Probably more seriously than Biden, Trump, Obama, Bush, anything else. 803-0930 is the phone number. Star 930 on the cell phone and 1-800-616-WBEN. I've never done this topic. I really haven't. And it's kind of propitious, maybe even serendipitous. I'm just like looking for big words now, that the test came out during the course of this program today. 803-0930, star 930, 1-800-616-WBEN. Tanner Saunders is the man at Master Control, a phenomenal young man. He was born in the Finger Lakes, and he came west, young man, to Western New York to earn fame and fortune, and tragically, as in a Greek tragedy, ended up working with me. The poor devil. It's back to Watkins Glen for Tanner. So was it Watkins Glen, Tanner?
Corning, I'm from.
Oh, Corning. That's right. The Corning Glass Museum. That's a must on any list. You ever watch him blow glass?
Yes. We would take field trips there for school, and they'd have glass-blowing exhibitions.
Wow. Those jokes kind of write themselves, but thank you, Tanner. Oh, I know why you're playing this. I know why you're playing this, because we're talking about the Mannlicher Carcano rifle, and I kind of joked with David Bellavia. I thought Hall & Oates did a song about she's a Mannlicher, but actually, which would be a story about a gun, like happiness is a warm gun, but that was a metaphor. This is Maneater and Hall & Oates. And by the way, you know, the song Hall & Oates did that I totally forgotten they covered was the Righteous Brothers, You've Lost That Lovin' Feelin'. And Hall & Oates just did an amazing job on it. I don't think I've ever seen him do it live. For that matter, I've never seen him do Every Time You Go Away live, which they wrote and Paul Young turned into a hit. And a lot of people don't even know there was a Hall & Oates song. And nobody really cares anyway. Anyway, let's get to the calls on WBEN. Jim in South Buffalo. Jim, we just had the emergency alert system test. And you know, tell me what you think about this. And by the way, Mark Poloncarz has said, well, the EAS could be used during a blizzard. And frankly, I think he dropped the ball. I think he should have used it. He should have requested authorization to use it if he needs to get authorization from an agency other than his own to request activation. I think I should have been more forceful about saying, hey, guys, activate the EAS because this is necessary. Go ahead with your concern, sir.
I happen to wake up at 3:30 in the morning. I go to sleep with the radio on. I've been listening to talk radio for 25 years. I go to sleep with WBN, and I woke up at 3:30 in the morning, and I got up right away. I wrote down notes, and this is like the scariest topic you'll ever hear. And Chuck Norris also said, China has plans. They're getting their military ready, and I wish... I tried to call the radio station the next morning. I tried to call Coast to Coast. I want to get more information. This is the most serious phone call you'll ever hear. Very scary. And Chuck Norris said the same thing.
I presume you're talking about George Norris from Coast to Coast, right, who took over from Art Bell. Okay.
Right. You know, I know to get some far-fetched topics, but this is super serious. He said China has plans between the middle of October this year or middle of October next year to to attack our country. So they're getting their military all ready. They're telling their citizens, and their plan is to hit us and hit us hard. I mean,
in what way? Because the new warfare is not like the old warfare. So what does George Noriega foresee happening?
Oh yeah, I mean I'm on the internet quite a bit, and they said don't ever mess with the U.S. I mean, we got equipment that's unbelievable, and China does too. And their navy is much bigger than ours, but our aircraft, we have far superior aircraft. And they say, like, the Gerald R. Ford aircraft carrier, they could wipe out, was on the internet, they could wipe out any country in 60 seconds. And the 72 planes, the jet fighters, can destroy any country in 1 minute. Hard to believe.
Sounds a little far-fetched to me, because all it's going to take is how many hypersonic missiles to hit an aircraft carrier, and we'll see how long the aircraft carrier is afloat.
Right. But it's, I've got six little grandkids, and you always worry about what's their future going to be like. And I wish the right authorities will really look into this. I mean, a lot of people, I talked to a lot of people about these topics, and we all heard about all this fentanyl. They said there's enough fentanyl to kill 400 million. It's on the radio, 400 million people. Right, we got 330 million people in our country. They have enough fentanyl to kill every single person.
It's evil stuff. But okay, yeah. I mean, let's just backtrack, Jim. I mean, are you talking about a Chinese invasion of the United States? Troops landing in New Orleans, troops landing in Tampa, troops landing in New York City. They'd be taking their lives into their hands, I must tell you. I mean, we might actually look at MS-13 as the good guys then. But is that what he was talking about, World War II kind of scenario?
Yeah. It went on and on. And they said they have plans. Because for the last 20 years, I said, what if we can't pay the trillions of dollars back to China? Are they going to call note and, hey, we want part of your country? They're already buying land here. They said they have plans on sending 400 million. They have 1,300,000,000. 1.3 billion. They want to send 400 million of their population to our country. And if it's...
No, Mexico already beat them to it.
Yeah, if it's contaminated, they don't care, because they want to get rid of the elder population. And 20 years ago, I heard they said they found documents at the turn of the century. They were worried at the turn of the century, early 1900s, about overpopulation and food shortages. Said we have to, in the time capsule, they said we have to do something, even if we have to spread disease. Now AIDS came into our lives, and now the COVID, and then there's a pop up on everybody's phone that don't listen to this warning. It can activate something in our bodies with the COVID. I don't know if you heard that.
To be honest with you, I mean, that sounds like absolute asinine conspiracy theory horse crap. If you want my brutally honest opinion, it sounds like a bunch of...
But the thing is, I mean, there's thousands of satellites in the sky every day, thousands.
Right, and there's also, okay, before we get too far into this, you are aware that our coastline, the perimeter of the United States, is surrounded by a sonar device listening system, right? So if there were a whole bunch of Chinese or Russian submarines all converging on the coasts, we would know about it. You're aware of that, right?
Oh, yeah, right.
Okay, so a surprise attack using submarines, for example, close to the coastline to launch preemptive strikes probably isn't going to go very well for China. Secondly, can we think about the logistics for a moment? China to New York City is a long way around. China to San Francisco, a little more practical. China to the Aleutians and then down through Canada, a little bit more practical. But think about the supply chain that the Chinese would have to employ to invade the United States. Look at your studies of history. Look at what happened to Napoleon, going from Paris to Moscow. His army froze to death on the steppes of Russia. Hitler and Stalingrad in the winter of 1942. Winter and weather plays havoc with men, machines, and equipment. So I don't believe that what you're talking about makes any sense whatsoever. If you want to destroy the United States, there are two things you must do. Number one, destroy the internet and communications abilities. And number two, make sure there's no football on Sunday.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, but it's very, very, they could hit our grid system and we're done. Nothing's going to work. You know what I'm saying?
Well, see that. But again, you know what? That goes both ways, Giggity, because we can do the same to them. I mean, so if mutually assured destruction acted as an effective deterrent during the nuclear Cold War, I think mutually assured electronic destruction may very well act as a deterrent for future Chinese aggression, because they got to know if they put an EMP over the United States, we're going to put an EMP over China.
Correct. Right. But it's I wish for our whole planet, our whole country. I pray every day for our country and the poor. You know, I feel sorry for a lot of these immigrants that are coming in our country, for the women and children. But all the criminals, they're emptying all the prisons all over Venezuela and different countries, and they're sending them to our country. I mean, is our president doing the correct thing, letting all these criminals come in our country?
Well, we might need them to fight the Chinese invasion you referenced. Cannon fodder, you know, they'll fill a pit as well as any other. Sorry, that's from Shakespeare, actually. But anyway, there was a Falstaff line paraphrased. But I mean, look, Bella Villa is in a much more informed position to comment on this, but I kind of think I kind of believe that the idea of massive armed World War II style conflict is a little outdated, because as the great biology teacher at Kenmore East once told us back in the 1980s, the more complex an organism is, the easier it is to kill. And our electronics are so complicated and so interwoven and are such an integral part of our lives. You take away our electronics, we are going to go into a frenzy of mental illness, because many people are addicted to their cell phones. You want to destroy America, take out the iPhone and the Android. You destroyed America right there.
Right. But I just wish the right authorities and a lot of people that are sitting home, I wish they could do more research. I mean, it sounded terrifying what I heard Sunday night.
Well,
then they brought it up for a few minutes last night. He said the topics Sunday were frightening.
Yeah, but you know what? Use your common sense. Use your common sense. China takes out the United States electrical grid. How does the United States retaliate? It takes out China's electrical grid. China attacks the United States militarily. What does the United States do? It launches its missiles.
Right.
So I really think it's kind of like a stalemate. And right. I hope that I'm right about this, as right as I was about the Dolphins beating the Bills. But I hope that I am right about this. But again, getting back to the whole concept of mutually assured destruction, if I break into your house with a pistol to kill you, but I know you've got a pistol and you're going to kill me the minute I walk through the door, we're at a standoff. And I'm not going into your house to kill you. Why? Because I know you're going to kill me, too. So that kind of goes in our favor. And if you want to talk conspiracy theories, let's just say that every government in the entire world is a fraud and a sham. And the actual world is really run by corporations and mega billionaires who call the shots, while government officials are transitory holders of places in government. And they don't want the world to blow up because, again, they've got yachts in Greece they like to get on and have naked parties.
Right. But Tom, did you get a notice on your phone that if you list this warning, they said shut your phones off. I know a lot of friends, I call them and say, Jim, shut your phone off. Shut it off between these few hours.
Yeah,
if you hear this.
There's a lot of misinformation out there. If you're going to tell me that the emergency alert system on the cell phone triggered COVID, I'm just going to call BS.
Well, you know, the thing is, when you know, there's
a lot of lunacy out there. Use your common thinking, use your critical thinking skills. Come on. Tones on a phone are going to trigger COVID. Come on.
Yeah, but you stop and think. Man is smart enough to put all these satellites in the air, send them to different planets. It's like in this world now, anything is possible. It's scary, and we don't have the mindset and the knowledge to understand a lot of this.
Well, to be very honest with you, sir, what you're saying sounds like paranoid lunacy. And I apologize if you feel insulted, but that's what it sounds like to me.
Yeah, but it's not. I'm not the only one that heard this.
You're talking to a guy who is the world's foremost civilian expert on stealth personnel gear. I broke the technology and I figured out who was doing it, and I know a thing or two about that kind of gear. And I had to apply a lot of critical thinking skills to that investigation. I did. They worked, and they worked well enough that I got a 3-hour sit down with an intelligence agency wanting to know how I did what I did, and they were so blown away by what I did, it was unbelievable. But anyway, I thank you very much for the call. I mean, I just, you know what? The more outrageous what you are saying happens to be, the stronger the evidence has to be to make your case. And eventually I got to the point where I could present photographic evidence that is incontrovertible, like Adlai Stevenson did of the Soviet missiles in Cuba in October 1962. So I went from being, we believe he's mentally ill, to be damned, he was right. So the EAS test went off today in your cell phone. Did it freak you out? Are you worried? I mean, I guess one of the questions that I have, before we get into some other stuff, and I'm sure we will, but one of the questions that I have is, because of the frequency of the emergency alert system tests, do you even pay attention anymore? Because when I hear it, I'm just so used to it being, this is a test. It's like, okay, it's always a test, thank goodness. And have I actually activated the EAS upon the request of the National Weather Service? Absolutely. When we've had tornadic situations in the area, when I've been on the air, I know I did on the other radio station. I may very well have done it on this station. But we need to, according to the FCC, we need to periodically test the emergency alert system. Always seems to happen on my show, by the way, if you've noticed that. but anyway, you got a test on your phone today, and my phone went nuts, your phone went nuts, and you had a chance to hear it over the air. It's a little disconcerting, though, that they say 420, and it came over at 418. Like, I'm sorry, but do you guys not, are you not in sync with the atomic clock in Colorado? How can you be 2 minutes off on such an important thing? That was a little bit, I'm sorry, humorous to me. Here's Mike in Depew on News Radio 930 WBEN. Mike, hello.
Yeah, how you doing, Tom? I was listening to your previous caller, and I appreciate where people receive their information relative to, for example, military encounters, which, by the way, happens to be my specialty in teaching in college. And unfortunately, the man is kind of putting forth ideas of fear which are just utterly inconsistent with the realities on the ground. By the way, Tom, your position is absolutely correct. And China has no capacity in which to attack the United States mainland, whether it be its strategic forces, its navy, its air force. It is a military that is really just slightly larger than the U.S. military. China maintains a force of slightly over 2 million. The United States basically runs a force of about 1.4 million. Wars today are fought in the air. The logistics required to attack the United States is virtually, it is insurmountable for them to achieve.
Mike, I would like to continue this conversation without referencing the man in the high castle, by the way. I would like to continue this after the news break, if that's okay with you, because I want to do your call justice, because I did find the other caller to be not particularly realistic. So can we put him on hold, please, there, Tanner? Tanner Saunders behind the glass at Master Control. It is, and I appreciate the guy's call. I do, and I'm not trying to, like, make him sound like a fool or something. I just have a difference of opinion with him, which I think is based on fact.